CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good, good. Justice, can we start with the banks? Anthea's already touched on this. She said she thinks it's illegal behavior, but you wanted to talk about this too. What do you make of all of this?
No, I think it's a great story. I think it's a great reveal by the Competition Commission. And I think that if the banks did do it, and we'll hear from them when this case goes to the tribunal now, and that's what the commissioner said, that let's give them the chance to respond. And when they do go back, there are 18 banks. Three of them are local. So there's Standard, Absa, and I think Investec. Mm-hmm. Those three banks will respond, plus the other international banks. But for me, I'm interested in the political implications of this story. You might have noticed immediately afterwards, there was a lot of jumping up and down and happiness from the likes of Jimmy Manyu, who is a well-known praise singer and supporter of the Gupta family, saying, what's the Reserve Bank been doing? It's supposed to protect the rand, and it didn't do it in the case of these banks, and so forth and so forth. So I think this story is going to become a big political potato. It's going to be something that the Gupta family and others are going to use as, well, you come after us and say, we've got dodgy transactions. Why didn't you use this? Why didn't you stop it? You terrible, terrible banks, you are white monopoly capital, and so forth and so forth.
Right.
And I think for financial institutions, for the banks, this year will be defined by that. We've seen the campaign around APSA, which we've spoken about before on the show, the Bancorp deal that was a live boat for APSA or Bancorp in the late 80s, early 90s, when it nearly collapsed. And that was monies loaned to the bank by government or the Reserve Bank. And that has been steadily gaining steam. And so I think this story and how the banks behaved, it's not just going to be how bad the banks have been. And it, from all it looks like and what the Reserve Bank says, saying it views it in a very serious light, it looks as if they did essentially take part in some seriously uncouth illegal behavior, and they should be punished. But how it's going to play out in the public space and the political space is that it's given a fantastic tool for many who've been calling for action against the banks to go for it. You'll remember that President Jacob Zuma has tried to have some sort of inquiry into the banks. You'll remember that last year, Museveni Zwane, who many people will wonder whether works for the Gupta family or for the South African people, issued a statement off his own bat saying that cabinet had resolved to institute an inquiry into the banks.
Which is strange, because he's not the Minister of Finance. He's the Minister of Mineral and Energy Affairs. Very strange.
Exactly. On top of that, he was supposedly in an interministerial committee which never sat, which was supposed to have the finance minister on it, which the finance minister never attended a single meeting. And there he goes and issues a statement. But even more curious was the fact that cabinet then issued a statement saying, we never discussed this. We never mandated this gentleman to issue a statement on our behalf. And so the question came about, why did he do it? Whose behalf was he doing it on? President Zuma said in Parliament that, oh, I'm going to deal with him. But to this day, we don't know what exactly President Zuma means when he says he will deal with something. Certainly, Museveni Zwane seems to be very secure in cabinet, and the fact that so many think that he was appointed by the Gupta family rather than by the president seems to give him that confidence. So there's been action looming around the banks, and I think this, and I'm not saying what the Competition Commission has found is not untrue or it's not verifiable. I think that the Competition Commission is one of those institutions that work in South Africa. But I think that it's going to be used in a very interesting fashion by many who want or who have sought to draw a moral equivalence, if you will, between what one family does and what the banks do. Well, and so you're going to see a lot of that paid fake Twitter going into paroxysms of of outrage suddenly, wanting to see action and saying, but you know, you can't act on the Guptas if you don't act against these guys. My question always is, let's act against all of them.
I agree. The ordinary people of this country don't need to be held ransom by in this case, a cartel of banks. And no. We also don't need to be held ransom by one very greedy family of people.
Exactly. I mean, I think the one thing that mustn't be lost, and this year is going to be a long one with this tribunal hearings that will come up, is that again and again, we're going to see that element that, oh, this is the same Reserve Bank that stopped the, that didn't say anything when the Gupta accounts were stopped.
Yeah.
But now didn't act against these banks. They are terrible and terrible. Open the Gupta bank accounts. If the Gupta bank accounts need to be reopened, sure, go ahead and do it. But let's not say because they did something wrong on the banks, then they mustn't act right on the other thing. That's all I'm saying. But it's going to be political. And this goes straight up to Jacob Zuma and others who have played around with wanting to control the banks. So an interesting year ahead, I think, for financial services in general. It's going to come back and back. And I think APSA in particular is going to see more of those ANC youth league.
I want us to move on because we don't have a lot of time this morning. And I do need to know, yesterday IPED were in Parliament. That's Robert McBride and the Independent Police Complaints Directorate. What do you make of what's going on there at the moment, and how does it fit into Commissioner Pahlane? Well, he's now General Pahlane, and what's going on in the police at the moment?
I mean, I think we need to be extremely scared. You know that old adage, and I think we've sort of touched on it in the past about how whatever the law is about, about protecting the weak. So we've spoken about the SED Mani 94, and now it might be SED Mani 120, 100 and however many. The law is there to protect those most vulnerable people in our society. When it comes to the law, it must protect me and you, and you and I are lovely, fine guys, as Ben can attest, and as Mabale can attest, we are lovely people. But there are also some nasty people in the world.
Mm.
But the law must protect them as well. Now, you know, many people know Paul O'Sullivan as being abrasive. He might be this, he might be that. He rubs people up the wrong way, and so forth and so forth. But even in his case, the law must be respected. If you have, for example, someone like this pedophile pervert who was sentenced the other day to more than 100 years plus 37 life sentences and so forth. Even he, throughout the justice system, we treated him as an innocent man until he was found guilty. So in the case of Paul O'Sullivan, he approached the court and said, I think the acting police commissioner is trying to arrest me and arrest me legally. Will you issue a court order saying that if he wants to arrest me, he must send me a summons and ask me to present myself? He mustn't come to my house and just arrest me and, you know, no one knows who I am and so forth and so forth.
Yeah.
And the High Court said, you know what, under the circumstances, we agree. There seems to be something nefarious going on. So we give you that court order, and the police have it too, that you can arrest this man. You've got to give him 48-hour notice. What do they do? On Monday evening, they go to AfriForum's offices. Now, you know, you might have many views on AfriForum and what they do and so forth and who they represent. But the law is the law, and the law says, do not arrest this man.
Right.
Don't do it. So they break the law. The police break the law. They arrest him. They take him to a police station in Pretoria, where it seems as if they operate from, Camille Dreft police station. Mm-hmm. And his lawyers arrive and try to get him out. And you have a midnight release of the man because the courts are, many people don't know this, that if you get arrested, there is always a magistrate who can hear your bail application immediately. But many of us just sit there at the mercy of the police and don't enforce our rights when we do get arrested. Anyway, the point I'm making is this. We need to be very careful when we have the police acting in a manner that breaks the law and wantonly do so. What is really going on? I think our police services, I think that acting police commissioner Pahlane, who has been investigated by the Hawks, by the IPED, I mean, and IPED investigates corrupt cops or allegedly corrupt cops. Mm-hmm. I think that he's scared. He's scared, and he has called on the very worst of the people inside the Hawks. And I refer here to a General Ndebo John Mabula, who was the man who arrested Gerinel, who was the man who arrested Boyson, that KwaZulu-Natal cop who had also been investigating some nasty activities within the police. And when he did those arrests, they were thrown out of court. He was brought out from the Northwest to come in and arrest Paul O'Sullivan's lawyer last Friday. And Paul O'Sullivan's lawyer was denied a phone, was denied access for the whole weekend, and was kept somewhere where she didn't know where she was, where her relatives were. They didn't know where she was. This is all very bad. It means that it's becoming a police state where people get away with just wantonly breaking the law. But it's not just people getting away with that. It's the police themselves, under the leadership of Acting Police Commissioner Pahlane, doing this. And it's no good. I have to tell you, I've been impressed with Pahlane since he became Acting Police Commissioner. I thought this guy... he's career professional, he's doing and saying the right things. But his behavior, when questions have been asked about him and his activities, have been very questionable. This is a man who has four cars on a salary that doesn't seem to be able to stretch to having a Range Rover, a Land Rover, whatever the other cars are, whose house costs 8 million rand, who's paid off 4.4 million rent off that house in just 3 years. And the question is, where does the money come from? And why is he being so sensitive about just saying, oh, you know, my shares came through. I listened to Anthea Cartesian in the morning and I follow the investment tips that come through. That's what I would do. That's what any person would do. But right. He seems to have called in the heavies and they're going for it. And that is very unfortunate. So we need to be careful about this. But what it says about the security cluster, if you think about it, Hawks and Tlemeza's appointment is under challenge. Now Pahlane's appointment is being challenged. The police minister himself has been under a cloud, many people asking if this is the right man to be police minister and whose side is on exactly. You think about what's happened in the past around our intelligence services, the army being deployed and so forth. We should be very careful about these law enforcement agencies, about the security cluster. I think that there are big problems there. And it would be very unfortunate if we saw another police commissioner follow in the way of Jackie Silebi and go off to jail, or follow in the way of Ria Pierre and be suspended for years and years and years.
All right. Two other things quickly that I want to hit on. First of all, the gift that keeps on giving. The EFF have taken Zuma to the Concord again, and Julius is preparing for 2019. What do you see happening here?
Well, you know, President Zuma went to the State of the Nation address, gave a huge opportunity for the EFF to ridicule him, to show him up, and to ultimately give the nation a one-hour show of ridiculousness. And who came out looking a bit worse for wear after that? It's Jacob Zuma. Jacob Zuma's presence will continue to be an embarrassment for the ANC. The EFF will continue to take him on, point out his troubles and so forth and so forth. Same thing with the DA, same thing with COPE and other opposition parties. Now, after he's paid back the money, the EFF says the Constitutional Court must declare on what must happen to him because he was found to have failed to uphold and protect the Constitution, failed his oath of office, failed to uphold his oath of office. And so the EFF says, we are taking you back to court. He must be quaking in his boots because the last time the Constitutional Court ruled on the matter, you remember that Mogoeng came into his own and was scathing about the president's behavior around Nkandla and parliament's behavior around Nkandla. Mm. So expect to see the Constitutional Court possibly deliberating, or when it delivers its judgment, Julius Malema arriving with 10,000 EFF members at the Constitutional Court and milking it for the maximum. And that will put, once again, the spotlight on Jacob Zuma. It puts him in a position where the ANC has to look at him, his members have to look at him, his supporters have to look at him and say, ish, did we make the right decision here? And when you think back to the Constitutional Court decision last year, you have to say, what impact did it have on the ANC's performance in the local government election? And so in many ways, this is the EFF saying, we know the ANC's weak spot, and that weak spot is Jacob Zuma, and we're just going to keep on scratching and gnawing at it until this resolution. So for the next year, I think expect Jacob Zuma to be center stage. And if the ANC doesn't realize that this is eating away at its support for 2019, I don't know what else they realize.
Okay. Well, we realize it. I don't know if they do. So we're going to have budget day next week, and Praveen's going to stand up and he's going to tell us we're going to be taxed more. That's what everybody's saying.
Yeah.
If they're going to tax us more, how are they going to justify that when departments like water and sanitation are bankrupt and have spent money that they didn't have, and not only have done that, but have funded things like Mabala Noise, if we're led to believe so by Julius Malema? So why should we trust our money to people like Nomvula Mokonyane?
This is exactly the point. The crisis is not about, it's not about just where's the money, but it's also where's the money going when it's around. And it's a question of legitimacy. It's a question of who stands up and says, this is what we're going to do with the money. Because a lot of South Africans will stand up and say, well, we like what Pravin is doing. We think he's on the right track and so forth and so forth. But then they'll also say, well, why is it he's under so much pressure from people like Lindiwe Zulu, Nomvula Mokonyane? Remember, these are the people who keep on saying, yeah, Treasury is not giving us the money to achieve radical economic transformation.
Right.
Now, when you see stories like what the City Press had on Sunday, which showed clearly that that the Ministry and the Department of Water Affairs has just botched its budget and just is bankrupt, despite all the denials that they've been trying to put forward. Mm-hmm. This places a big question mark on the legitimacy of the administration itself, and it's going to be very difficult for President Zuma to say, well, I want more money for that ministry when consistently, those ministries, particularly that he wants to see more funding for, seem to be the ones that spend wantonly, without any nod towards the controls that should be in place. So I think next week, yes, you're absolutely right. We will be taxed a little bit more. There's a big debate about whether all of us will be taxed. I think that there will be some tax on the rich. There may be certainly the sugar taxes and those other sin taxes will come through. But it's whether VAT will go up. And VAT is a tax that is paid by everyone, the rich, the poor, and will hit the poor. And whether the ANC and the president can take a risk of increasing VAT when things are so tough for everyone. But people will also be watching this budget because Pravin Gordhan has been a target of so many attacks by his colleagues in cabinet, attacks by even President Zuma, some say, questions about his treasury standing in the way of implementation of President Zuma's personal plans and so forth. So the big question will be, is this the last budget that Pravin Gordhan will deliver? And is this the last budget that Gebisi Jonas, who famously said that he was offered a job by Jacob Zuma's friends, the Guptas, as a deputy, to move from deputy finance minister to finance minister. There'll also be huge questions being asked about whether President Zuma is being vindictive and wants to get rid of those who have stood against him in cabinet. And Gebisi Jonas certainly threw the cat among the pigeons by confessing or exposing what the Guptas may have tried to do to him. So big questions around what's in the statement, but also big questions about what happens after the statement and all the noise around, will we see a cabinet reshuffle or not? And will we have Dr. Nkosazana Dlamini-Zuma being absorbed into cabinet, and what impact that will have on all these positions? Will we have a new finance minister and a deputy finance minister in the week after? That speculation is high, but President Zuma is the president and he has the prerogative to appoint and disappoint ministers as he wishes.
All right, Justice, thank you so much. By the way, I loved your discussion about Sylvia Lucas's KFC on the Justice Factor.
No, thank you. For our listeners, I mean, personally, I would have bought Nando's because it's such a fantastic, you know, the texture, the peri peri. Personally, that's what I would have done. But you know, people need to be aware what happens with their taxes and their tax money. Mm-hmm. And way back when Sylvia Lucas became premier, she, in her first 10 weeks in office, she spent, I think, 50,000 rand or 52,000 rand on buying fast food. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't just one outlet. Lots of other outlets did it. And she bought from lots of other fast food outlets. And so one of the things one has to always do is to question our own leaders about what exactly are you saying, standing up there lecturing me on 1, 2, 3 as a taxpayer and as a citizen, when you went off on a spending spree buying 50,000 rands worth of
fast food.
Of fast food, and you think that we'll forget. It's been 4 years now since she did that. We haven't forgotten and we'll never forget. She needs to account because she's still has not accounted for why that happened. It's just not good enough.
All right, Justice, thank you very much for talking to us this morning. We will catch you again next Thursday on The Burning Platform. It's brought to you by Nando's, Justice Malala. CliffCentral.com.